Welcome back to the Disciple Makers podcast. Today we are joined by Gary and Lily Crispin to talk about prayer. The practice of prayer in the Christian life can look very different depending on who you talk to. For some, it's a quick blessing of food. For others, it can be a long prayer by a pastor or elder in church. Or maybe it's just a good way to open and close a Bible study. But what does it look like to have a deep and flourishing prayer life? What are some practicals, and what does the Bible say about prayer? Join us as we discuss these things and more with Gary and Lily on the Disciple Makers podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Caleb Olszewski, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Sarah Evans.
Hey, guys.
Today, we are joined by our fellow Disciple Makers staff, Gary and Lily Crispin, as well.
Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Even back in college, Gary and Lily had a passion for prayer that has only grown over time. And so today, we're talking about practicals for prayer. And I'd love to start by asking you guys, Gary and Lily, what has your journey with prayer looked like? And how have you come to today to really value it and having it be an essential part of your Christian walk?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think my prayer life and my Christian walk starts really from the time I became a Christian. I think at first it was kind of like a mystic thing. Like you talk to this God of the universe, but over time I realized it's so personal, like that the God of the universe, the almighty, the all powerful big God gives us this great tool, this great way of having a conversation with him, a great way of entering into a dynamic relationship with him. And so you have something to add?
Yeah, that's really funny because my start journey with prayer was the exact opposite. I thought of God and the conversation with God as more of the little things, all the little things, like what I ate for breakfast and the parking spot that I wanted and all of those things. So it's kind of opposite of you. And it's kind of cool because prayer is both of those things. And as our journey kind of began, it really did begin for me at Kutztown. And that was the school we graduated from, where we started a prayer ministry. And that just looked like praying for hours.
Yeah. And just to kind of give you some background on the prayer ministry at Kutztown, I think it all started for me when I was actually fervently praying to God about a relationship that I wanted. There was this girl that I wanted to date who was not Lily. And I had one of those moments where I think I had read the story where Jacob wrestles with God all night. And, you know, he's so tenacious about it that God has to break his hip to get it to all come together. And so I was like, I'm going to be tenacious and I'm going to pray all night until God answers me. And so I'm praying and praying and praying and trying to listen to God, and I'm getting nothing until this one moment comes where I'm sitting at my window in my dorm room, and I look out across campus and I can see all of these dorm room lights on, and it just hits me like a sack of bricks where I spent all night praying about this relationship, and there are all these people on campus who don't even know God. As in, I was willing to spend so much time praying about something that I desired, and I wasn't really partnering with God in what he desired, you know, the spread of his kingdom, that salvation would come to these college students. So after kind of having that, I almost would call it an illuminated moment, I was like, all right, I need to start dedicating myself to praying for these people. And that's actually what led me to meet Lily, because I talked to Dave Royce, who was our staff at Kutztown. I said, Dave, I feel really convicted that I want to pray for people and I want to pull other students into this. And he said, that's a great idea. There are these two ladies who just talked to me about that very same thing. Mm-hmm. And he pointed them out to me, and one of them was Lily. So I was praying about a relationship, got convicted to start some prayer stuff, and God provided me a wife. Not saying that's going to happen for everybody.
Yeah, this is not a how-to for learn to pray better so you can get a wife.
Yeah, podcast over. That's all you wanted to know, right? Well, that's great. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for sharing that. And
I love how we're already kind of getting into even the motivations of why we would pray and how God stirs our hearts to pray. But maybe we could even start more simple than that. What is prayer?
Well, I think we're talking about it. It's a conversation. It's a relationship with God. And I know that the word relationship, some listeners may have a very negative response to the word relationship, or positive. And I don't just mean the warm and fuzzies with a relationship with the Lord, because true relationships in marriages, in friendships, are just so much more deep and complex than that. So on the basic, prayer is a relationship, but that's just the basic level. There's so many intricacies, which I'm sure we'll get into today as we talk about more of what prayer is.
Yeah, one of the things, like, within even the idea of relationship is when you read scripture from back to front, you see that that God is highly interested in interacting with his creation. From the garden to the fall of man to, even as God starts to try and, bring the nation of Israel into existence with Abram, and then, just through all of that, you see a God who is interested in interacting with his creation. And I think he's given us this gift of prayer, this open line of conversation that can happen with him, so that it isn't so much God on one side and a lot of robots on the other. Mm-hmm. There's so much more to his creation than that.
It's just like the discipline of prayer and the delight God has, like, emotionally, how they interact is like this beautiful dance in prayer.
Yeah, and it's really displayed through the whole of scripture. Even when you look at how God speaks to man and how man responds to God, there, just the back and forth of it. And even that God has, in his mystery, chosen that he will act through the prayers of his people. You see that in several different places. It's like, it boggles the mind, but it is so perfectly orchestrated by God.
So it's kind of a complicated answer to what seems like a very simple question. Mm-hmm. And what we'll see as you develop a prayer life is you'll see God is like that master weaver who weaves prayers you may pray 20 years ago, and he'll weave that into your story, into someone else's story. And I'm just really excited for the end of time when the Lord reveals his master story to us, and we'll be able to see how our prayers fit into just a beautiful tapestry.
Yeah, this is great. You're already kind of anticipating my next question, which is along the lines of why does prayer matter, and what does God really specifically have to say about prayer?
I mean, baseline why prayer matters is because God has instituted it. So he's made it an option. And if the God of the universe says this is an option to you, and in some places it's even a command to you, then it's important. But beyond that, when you look at how prayer benefits us, I mean, that gets into the more emotional meaning to humans. Not just that it's, by design or law.
Yeah, I think just to add off of that, if we didn't, let's say prayer was just like a practical discipline, that there wasn't a relationship aspect to it. Let's say prayer was something different than it is. We would really miss out on that friendship that we can have with the Lord. Of course, there's the honor that we show God as King, but there is also that friendship aspect that we see in Scripture. I'm probably going to be quoting a few books while we talk, because I just finished reading them both. And I'm just going to mention them because this next idea is from one of them. It's A Praying Life by Paul Miller and How to Pray by Pete Gregg. And there's a quote one of them has written that says, to learn to pray is to enter the world of a child where all things are possible. And if you can kind of hear maybe echoes of scripture in there, where with God, all things are possible. And so prayer is important because it reminds us of our place as a child of God. And that place and that position in the world means that there's endless possibilities. And that sounds probably pretty optimistic for maybe some of our listeners, but that really is why prayer is important. It directly ties us to the God who controls absolutely everything.
Yeah, and I think as much as we often want to think about prayer in this, I make a wish and God is like some genie out in the cosmos who makes that wish happen or not happen. Far more often, I've seen prayer as a way for God to change me. Mm. So any time that I've entered into prayer for any purpose, whether it's to ask for something, to praise for something, to plead for something, to express emotional content, whether that's sadness, anger, you know, anytime I've entered into prayer with any of that content behind it, I've seen God receive that and often use that to change my own heart, to be more like him, mm-hmm. to sanctify me in a way. So I think as much as, like I said, prayer is that relationship we've been talking about, that command that is given in scripture for us to communicate with our God, it's also us opening up our hearts to our Creator so that he might be able to work in us.
Yeah, I like what you're saying there. It reminds me of Matthew 6, particularly 6-7, where Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. And he tells them not to pray the way the Gentiles do, where they heap up empty phrases. He talks about, you know, the pagan Roman way of praying. It was just sort of like repeating a phrase over and over and over and over again and like hoping that like if you said it a certain amount of times, something would happen. But as Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, he's saying it is a discipline, but it's not an empty ritual. It is a pathway to connection with the Lord and to work and change our hearts. So I hear a lot of that in what you're saying.
Absolutely. And I wonder if we could even just dive in for a few minutes into what are some of those scripture passages that do command us to pray, that call us to pray in different ways.
Well, the first that comes to mind is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He says, when you pray, it's not a if you pray, it's not a if you think about it. It's like the word when suggests that it's supposed to happen. Lily, do you have any?
I'm going to count this as prayer because it's a conversation someone has with Jesus. And I think it reveals how we can converse with our Heavenly Father. So it's when a woman comes up to Jesus, and she's a Gentile woman, and she is looking for, I think, for him to heal her daughter. And they have this back and forth moment where he's like, well, I came for the lost sheep of Israel. I didn't come for you. Why should I bless the dog when I'm here to bless the children? And her response is, well, even the dog gets to eat the scraps from the table of the children. And his response is, wow, woman of faith, I will do as you ask. And what I think we see here is that weaver, that storyteller that I mentioned earlier, we see Jesus waiting and asking and conversing with this woman to show a little bit of her spunk and tenacity and her wit that she comes back with, really drawing her character out, and ultimately saying yes to her prayer. So I love that passage of scripture as an example of prayer because it helps when you feel like you're not getting quote, my figures are in quotations, which you cannot see. You're not getting the answer that you think you should get. And I love this passage, how it says, well, maybe the Lord is drawing you out for a purpose, for a reason.
Yeah, I think there's other places like Ephesians 5 where Paul commands, pray for the saints always. I think it's Matthew 21, a place where it says, my house will be a house of prayer. And he's likely referring to both the temple as was supposed to be a house of prayer and how we will be kind of embodiments of the Spirit as a temple will also become houses of prayer. So all those things come together into relationship that Lily was talking about, that back and forth with Jesus, where we We see it playing out physically in real time, but then we also see kind of more spiritual notions of you are to embody prayer. Your house will be a house of prayer, or Paul saying, pray always.
Yeah, I love that. And I think Paul in and of himself is just kind of one of our chief examples of how we should pray and how we can relate to God, just woven throughout all of his letters. He's constantly telling the people how much he's praying for them at the front and back of his letters. That's always mentioned. And we also see in the Psalms, right? It's God's people's songbook and also prayer book of them crying out to the Lord and talking to him about everything. I wanted to move us to even talking about, like, we've kind of defined prayer. We've talked about what it is, why it's important, both for us and our relationship with God and how he relates to us. But I mean, the reason we're talking about this today is because I think it's super easy to neglect prayer in the Christian walk. It's something that is easy to do in a sense. Like, it's easy to open your mouth and start speaking to God. But it's also really hard in that it takes work for us to do it. It takes us time to set it aside. Why do you guys feel like prayer is such a hard thing for many Christians to engage with?
So I actually really like how Paul Miller puts it. He says that we have like this natural desire to pray, and that comes from creation, from how God made us, right? We're made in his image. But our inability, it comes from the fall. So we were created perfectly and then we fell. So there's that tension that already starts. So like we want to talk to God, but we can't. So it's the friction of desire to pray combined with our badly damaged antenna connecting us to the Lord because of the fall. So that leads to that kind of constant frustration that I've heard from a lot of believers, and I myself have experienced as well. And I just love how Paul said it's kind of like we had a stroke. It's like we were going about our daily business, we've had a stroke, and now it's like really hard. Whereas in the garden, they walked side by side with God. It was not hard. It was as easy as we're talking here.
One verse that I go to when I think about prayer being hard is in Ephesians 5:15. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. And I think often my struggle with prayer is that I'm so confronted with my current quote unquote reality and, you know, the physical day that I'm just attached to, my schedule, my calendar, the events, the struggles, the stresses, toddlers, you know, you name it. Like, those things are kind of a constant weight and tug for my attention. And what Paul is saying is Ephesians is that you have to be so intentional with how you spend your time, because if you are not intentional, the days will claim your time. The days are evil. They're gonna suck that privilege away from you. Because I don't know if many of the listeners will relate, but there are a lot of times where I get to the end of the day and I'm out of time and I'm like, where did all the time go? I didn't get into the Word like I wanted to. I didn't pray like I wanted to. I didn't set aside the time that I wanted to. I sinned in ways that I didn't want to. And I get to the end of my day and I'm just like, this one's over. I don't have an opportunity for those things. And I think that really complicates the challenge of praying. And it's why the words are so strong in Ephesians. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of your time. Like, you have to be diligent.
And I think our culture makes it even more difficult, just based on where we have been historically, pretty much since the Enlightenment. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I've been studying up on is the history, is the Enlightenment, what happened. And so in the Enlightenment, to break it down really basic, so I don't rattle on, but basically it separated different thoughts into facts and feelings, and prayer wound up on the feeling side of things, on the subjective side. But as believers, prayer should be facts-based. It's actually something that causes change. It's actually an objective thing. It's something that we directly connect to the Lord with. So with prayer being moved from the fact-based to the feelings-based, it becomes super detached, kind of, because we're constantly battling our own thoughts. We're constantly battling our own culture. In our mind, money is going to do what prayer can, but faster and better and more secure. And money's, you know, that fact-based, tangible thing. Or intelligence or wealth, all of these things are going to combat what the scripture says about prayer, that prayer is necessary for our daily bread.
That's really interesting what you're saying, Lily. I appreciate even tracking the history of that, because often, even as you're talking, I'm thinking about even things that I've said in the past where I've said, I just don't feel like praying right now. Like, I'm just not feeling it. Like, that's just so interesting to be like, yeah, that's actually not at all what the Lord says about prayer, that there's a real, just sort of objective reality to talking to the Lord. And that when you look at many of the prayers in the Bible, there are certainly feelings, you know, look at the Psalms, there's absolutely feelings, but then there's often reminding, okay, what is true about the Lord? What is, you know, X, Y, and Z. And even as you're talking, it comes to my mind, why is prayer hard? It takes humility. But, you know, like all what you're saying is we have to come to God like we're a child and everything is a possibility. And, you know, relying on him for our daily bread, that takes a ton of humility. And that is something that our pride really wants to, you know, I'm going to logic this through or think this through or, you know, whatever. So as you guys are talking, the word that's coming to my mind is humility.
Sarah, what you're saying really brings me back to the picture of relationship. In relationship, on a human level, there's this push and pull, and it's not all flowery, and it's not all feel good. Like, there are moments, like you were saying, where you don't feel like it, but because you know what's true, you still enter into it. And you see that in marriage relationships, where there are certain times where I'm sure I do things that are not so kind or thoughtful, and it may cause Lily to not feel like interacting with me. But because we've made vows, we made commitments, she still seeks to mend that relationship, to come together in unity, like relying on what's true and what's been stated. And we have all the more dependence on God in those things. So even when we don't feel like it, or when we think things are untrue, we have scriptural evidence and fact that shows that he has committed himself faithfully to us, and we can humbly come before him.
Yeah.
You know, just like you're saying, really check ourselves and say, maybe I'm not as important as I thought I was, and I need to come and submit this before our Heavenly Father.
Yeah, that's so true. And I wonder if, Gary and Lily, if you guys would even be willing to share with us like a time for you when that has been true, when you were pushing through to pray in a moment when you didn't feel like it and you saw that actually lead you to taking steps of faith.
Yeah, I think for me, that was my story for most of high school. So I came to the knowledge of Christ when I was 11. But then around 14, 15, I met some challenges in life, bullying, depression, just some teenage hardships. And it caused me to question whether or not God was good. And I felt like I was stuck between this rock and this hard place of, I know that God is God, but I don't trust that he's good or has my best in mind. And so I found myself often just wrestling with the idea of talking to him. Like not wrestling with him, but wrestling with myself of, he's God and I should talk to him, but like, I just don't trust him. And, you know, after these long bouts of wrestling, I would come to kind of this place of, I have nothing else but him. I can't trust myself. I can only trust him. So even though I don't believe he's good or he's acting for my good right now, that's exactly what I'm going to talk to him about. in a lot of ways, I would describe that time as being trapped into prayer.
What do you mean by that?
It was a feeling of, I have to acknowledge that God is who he is, and I can't deny that truth. No matter how hard I would want to run from that, I would always know it was true. So even though I didn't like God very much at the time, he was the only person I could talk to about this thing. So what that practically looked like is a lot of sleepless nights. Like when I was a teenager, I would wrestle with this for hours. And then after wrestling came to, well, I have to talk to him about it, I would go on a walk at midnight and I would just talk to God and vent my frustration to him. And at the time it was very painful. But when I look back on that and I see that I had to contend with those facts, it gave me an extremely deep trust for God, because he handled everything I could throw at him and faithfully returned love. Like, he did not smite me. He did not leave me in that place of depression and hopelessness. It took time. Took lots of time and lots of sleepless nights with lots of walks in the dark.
So recently, this is why I'm reading books on prayer, because I've been going through this recently, answering the question, why is prayer hard? And in light of kind of the racial tension in our culture, in the United States, as well as some friends who have been going through some really tough personal times, and it feels like they're just getting hit time after time, and they've been fervent in prayer. And I ask the question, Lord, do you actually hear? Do you actually listen? Do you actually hear our prayers and do something? And one thing that I've been learning recently that has been helping my heart a lot was actually a graph in one of these books I read. So it's a reality graph. The reality is along the x-axis is what we're experiencing now. And then there's an arc over it, like a rainbow. And it's the arc of hope, because our hope is infinite. So we've got this infinite hope line, and we've got this stark reality line, and then there's the space between. And that can be described as the desert, or the disparity between the hope that we have in Christ and the reality of our circumstance that we have. And if you track with the Israelites and their time in their own desert, you see them fluctuate between anger and lament and just stubbornness and stupidity. You see all of it. And that's where I find myself oftentimes in my prayer life, is just in this desert. That's really just the best word for it, where I might not feel like God is talking to me. I have had, don't get me wrong, I have had times in my prayer life where the Lord answers me while I'm journaling, and he answers me while I'm reading his scripture. He's answered me and encouraged me through music. Don't get me wrong, I've had those times. But often, more often, my prayer life looks more like that desert where I'm just stuck. And I think that's what makes prayer hard, is because you don't see God tangibly or physically.
Yeah, I love what you both are saying. And I think it's such a clear picture of how prayer is the tool that God has given us to wrestle with the disparity between the future hope that we have in Christ and in heaven with the daily sufferings that we encounter, to the point where we don't even know what to say. And Romans 8 comes to mind in a big way. In verse 18, Paul's saying, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." So he's talking about the glory that is to be revealed. And then a few verses down in 22, it says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." And so we see that the creation is groaning and we're groaning. And we all encounter these seasons in our lives, like you were talking about, Gary, in high school. And I think, Lily, the racial injustice that we see going on right now, even the coronavirus season has come with its variety of significant struggles that have been experienced very differently by different people, but it can leave us asking why, and in some ways truly wrestling with, we have this great hope, we have this future hope in heaven, but we're dealing with the the realities of suffering now. And verse 26 is so encouraging to us that likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And so I think it's so encouraging that God doesn't leave us alone in that. He gives us prayer. And more than that, we have the Holy Spirit through Christ that's actually saying the words that we don't know to say in the moment. And where I'd love to go with you guys now is even as we're starting to get into some of the practicals of prayer and some of the practical spiritual realities of prayer, that it's not necessarily all about the words, because we even have the Spirit helping us to say what we don't know how to say. What are some practicals for us in terms of setting ourselves up for success in engaging in prayer when it can be hard to do so?
I think one way is to make it a practice. And by the very nature of the word, like it takes some effort and intentionality to practice prayer.
You're great at big picture. I have 7 practical steps to help you with practice. Can I share them?
Sure.
So step 1, go to bed. Meaning get to bed on time. If you're exhausted, you're not going to have a good prayer discipline, honestly. If you're a new mom like I am and sleep is like not happening, just pray while you're feeding the baby in the middle of the night. That's perfect. So step 1, go to bed. Step 2, get up. Huh, that's profound. Step 3, get awake. Drink your coffee. If you need to exercise, whatever you need to do, get awake. Step 4, go to a quiet place. Step 5, be comfortable, but not too comfortable because you might sleep. And then just start and keep going. That's it.
I think that's great. And I love what you were saying too about it being a practice. You could do all those things once, right? All these like simple steps, and that would be great and all, but that would get you through like one prayer session right there. And so the idea of making even these practical steps a habit is so important. And I love what you guys were saying earlier about intentionality too. I feel like one of the underscoring themes of so many of our podcast episodes so far has been intentionality, in that if we want to grow, if we want to expand our knowledge of God and to follow him more, intentionality is so key, because if we just float through the day, we're going to pass these things by.
Yeah. And I might even throw in a couple more like ideas that you could fit into maybe step 6 of just like get going, or just kind of things to keep your mind on prayer, or that you should be praying, trying to fulfill Paul's words of pray constantly or pray without ceasing. One thing for me that was really helpful is to look at how does God try and help his people remember him? When you look at Joshua, in the book of Joshua, first chapter, God says, remember me and do it by tying my words to your face and tying my words to your hands. You look at some of the laws and they say, put tassels on your garments that will remind you to not turn to the right or to the left away from God's word. And I mean, we are a forgetful people. So do as much as possible to remind yourself of these things. You know, we have these amazing computers in our pockets. Set reminders, set alarms, do things that would draw your attention to, oh yeah, I want to be praying right now.
And there are 2 apps that can help you do that. One is this app I've used called Echo, and you can actually put your own prayer requests in there and set reminders like Gary's saying, and it will just pop up. There's also another one that, shout out to Andy Cimbala, mentioned that's really good. It's called Lectio 365. And I've been using that since he mentioned it. And again, you can set reminders, and it's a guide. That one's a guided prayer. It has music in the background. It talks you through Bible verses and scripture. It also has, hey, for the world, pray this. For your community, pray this. It's really good, really all-encompassing.
Yeah, use whatever you can to spark that reminder.
Yeah, I like what you guys are drawing out about the intentionality, even connecting it back to the Ephesians 5, making the best use of the time. For me, one of the things I've wanted to grow in during this coronavirus season is actually praying for length of time, because I do, you know, like the quick prayers throughout the day while I'm washing the dishes, but very rarely in my life do I actually stop and sit and pray. And as I've been thinking about it, it's just, it's really rooted in pride and self-sufficiency, sinfulness. And so I tried, you know, my first goal was, you know, 15 minutes. But I noticed that, you know, I'm looking at my watch and I'm getting distracted. And so I started to set a timer for 15 minutes. And the first time I did this, I was like, is this like sinful? Like I'm setting a time limit on when prayer is going to start and be done. But I noticed that once that timer was going, I just didn't care about the time anymore. And I was like, I'm just going to keep going until I hear that. And when it, the first few days were like hard and terrible, I started writing my prayers, and that actually really helped me stay focused because my mind will just wander. But I've noticed as I've done this, praying for 15 minutes doesn't seem hard anymore. It's kind of amazing. And that's not anything on me. It's what you're saying, Lily. It's, you know, putting it in the schedule, you know, treating it like, you know, another, in some ways, treating it like another conversation that I would have with a person, but in other ways, like honoring it and keeping it more holy and more sacred. And so, yeah, I've done all of those things, and, you know, it feels very forced at first. And that's why I felt like maybe I shouldn't be doing it. But as I've done it, I feel like the Spirit has been training me in this becoming more natural.
I really, really appreciate what you're saying, Sarah. And as I've done different teachings on prayer, led different prayer initiatives, I've actually seen that really often in people. And I might call it something like diligence that leads to delight. Is you start with diligence, you start with, you know, that timer or that intentional space or that intentional routine. And eventually those things may fade out and it just becomes the delight that takes over. And as I've read numerous, you know, biographies of missionaries or people who have written books on prayer, church fathers, they all talk about the same thing, how diligence transforms to delight, especially when it comes to prayer.
One practical thing just to throw in here as you guys are talking about this discipline. First of all, for some of you, 15 minutes may not be achievable. If you could just sit down for 5 minutes, I encourage you right now, you stop this podcast and pray for 5 minutes. If you have time to listen to a podcast, you have time to pray. Pray for 5 minutes. That's a great start.
Ayo.
Going. yeah, and then the other thing that I wanted to encourage you all about or to just share with you that's really important is setting up that physical space. Because let's say you don't feel like it, because honestly, there will be days you just don't feel like it. Just showing up in that space is an intention. Lord, I have come to this space that I've set up for prayer. I don't want to pray, but I'm here. God will do crazy things with that. So just throwing that in there.
Yeah, and just to give you some examples of spaces. In my one dorm, it was my desk. In our current house, it's a tiny little space in a closet that I hung a piece of paper up that has some family prayer requests. And I keep note cards in there of people that I'm praying for. It's got a pillow and that's it. So I shut the door. I go in there. I hide from my toddler and I pray.
For me, it's a rocking chair currently, my nursing rocking chair. That's where I go to pray because I'm on it a lot.
Yeah, for me, it's my garden or my bedroom. And I have a particular like instrumental soft playlist that my husband knows. If you hear that music, do not talk to me. I am praying. I want to talk about how, you know, our prayer and our time in the Word, Scripture, should be intimately connected. And Gary, I know that you've led prayer workshops where you've taught people to use the templates of, say, the Lord's Prayer or the Psalms. Could you talk a little bit about how is our time in the Word, you know, kind of our quiet time, as it were, connected to our prayer?
Absolutely. Actually, Lily wants to jump in on this first.
Real quick, you said, how does prayer fit into our Scripture reading? And you said a partner, which is key. And I just want to point that out. It is important that we understand that Scripture and prayer should be hand in hand. if you're just intellectually reading the scriptures and you're not engaging in conversation with the Lord, we need to talk. That's a dysfunctional relationship with the Lord. Prayer and scripture should be hand in hand.
Yeah, Paul beat us to it in Ephesians 6 when he's wrapping up the armor of God. He says, and this comes from 17 and 18, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication. A lot of times we want to pull those two verses apart. We want to say, all right, we have the sword of the Spirit on one side and praying at all times, and that's over there. But in the original language, that's a fluid sentence. It's just one. It's supposed to be two ideas that are linked. And the way I might phrase is that we are to wield the word of God with prayer. And wield is another word for handle. We are to handle the word of God with prayer. Those two ideas should be very much commingled. So all of that as our base, let's get into what Sarah actually asked about is like, how do we do that? And I think there's a lot of ways to do this. One is that you read scripture in a way that you actually envision that you're reading it to God. You're reading God's own word back to him. And I think just having that as an idea that you're doing means that you're including God into your scripture reading. Like you're consciously saying God is here and I'm reading it to him. That it creates this partnership of God, this is your word and this I'm reading it and we're together looking it over. And there's numerous ways that you can do that. In the Psalms, it's really easy. You could take a psalm, you could read through it, and maybe I'll go to Psalm 1 just to kind of give an example of this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So right there, we can take pause and we can say, God, you have declared that blessed is the man who does not do these things. Father, I pray it so in my own life. Father, I pray that I would be blessed by not walking in the counsel of the wicked. Father, I pray that I would not stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Father, but I pray that I would delight in your law. I pray that it would be a meditation of my mind day and night. So you're basically inserting yourself into the scriptures and using it as a prayer template. Lily, do you have any other useful ways to integrate scripture and praying?
So really you can pray any scripture. And this is how I use scripture in my prayer life. For you practical people out there, just start with the Lord's Prayer. Start with John 3:16. Start with something. Just one verse even. I actually use John 3:16 as an example. For God so loved the world. I'm going to stop there because I don't feel the need to go any further. And how I use it in my prayer life is I really consider that sentence. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. And I just think about the words and I just meditate with the Lord with them. And you could do it with as much as just one little verse or a whole psalm like Gary's talking about. For me and my attention span and the way I think, I usually do much smaller chunks, like just like one verse.
Yeah, and I really like that Lily used the word meditate. It's a word that us Western Christians are afraid of because we've associated with Eastern religion and things that are negative. But if you've read the Old Testament, especially anything that's tied to David, you'll see so often he talks about meditating on God's word day and night. It's not bad when you meditate on something good.
Yeah. Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen.
One thing I've noticed as we've been talking, this has been largely individual, kind of our own personal prayer life. But in our last few minutes, maybe we could talk about the body of Christ is not an individualistic thing. So how do we be a praying community, or how do we be involved in a praying community if we don't have that?
And this totally comes back to the Enlightenment, which made prayer something private and personal and took it away from the public, which the whole book of Psalms was mostly public prayer. So this is a great question, Sarah.
Yeah, I think it's so valuable to pray corporately, whether that's small group, large group, congregationally, even this app echo that allows you to include others in what you're praying for and know what they are praying for as well. I think most of what we see in the New Testament letters, when it says pray without ceasing, it's spoken to a body of believers, not an individual. And I think that's something that we need to get more into and more in the mindset of, is that prayer is a corporate activity more so than something that's absolutely private.
And you can do that through music. That's what a lot of churches do. If you're in just the routine of just singing during opening or closing worship at your church, consider praying during that time, because you can be corporately praying during a worship song.
Yeah, worship and prayer have a lot of bleed over. I think there are also things that we can do as smaller communities or pockets of people. For example, when Lily and I were in college, we read Pete Gregg's book, Red Moon Rising, which is kind of a testimonial of how God led him to start a 24/7 prayer movement. And the basics were that a church congregation would get together, dedicate a space, and dedicate a period of time, whether that be a week, a month, or a year, to prayer, and then have people sign up in 1 hour incremental slots that every hour of the day would be covered by somebody praying. And so they would come together as a body of people praying for the same things. We were inspired to do a similar thing at Kutztown. And the community that fostered was incredible. I don't know that I've seen much like it since. And like, as a community, we had a prayer space, and in the space, we had a wall of names, people that we interacted with, were fellow students with, professors, people who did not know Jesus, and we would pray for them. We would pray that they would come to know Jesus. And I can't tell you how many of those names we highlighted as they actually came to Jesus. We saw God working through our prayers as a community. And even though we weren't praying in a circle on metal chairs, like kind of traditional prayer gatherings of, you know, the 90s, we did it in our own way, and we prayed for the same things. Do you have more to add?
I just have another thought of ways we can pray corporately. Let's say you're hanging out with someone, just, I don't know, you're going on a run, you're going to get a cup of coffee, and you get to talking, and they share something hard or they share something great. Stop right there. Praise the Lord together. Fervently pray together. Put a petition up to the Lord together. That's a way to corporately pray too. You're driving in the car, you hear an ambulance go by. Pray with your family. Pray with your coworker in the car. Say, hey, do you mind if I just pray for the ambulance, people in the ambulance, where they're headed? Really anything like that, that you can plug into with other people, is corporately praying.
Yeah, what Lily's saying really makes me think of Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. They dedicated themselves to this. And kind of as you read that, I don't get the idea of force. Like, the apostles were like, you must bow down, you must pray, you must do these things. It definitely feels more like community, fellowship, and delight, that it's something that they wanted to do and there was enthusiasm for, not something that was a suffrage of sorts.
Yeah, I love what you guys are saying about corporate prayer. And I think one of the things that's standing out to me is the idea of not just doing it in and of itself, but having it be a part of your relationships with other people and in your conversations, or in the example you gave, Gary, of kind of highlighting people's names as they came to know Christ. There's such a power to, as a community, looking at the way in which God is answering prayer, in the way of sharing the things you are praying about. And as people are able to see those things come to fruition, you can praise the Lord together about them. Because I think if we're not speaking up about the ways in which God is being faithful and is answering our prayers, we sell short the community and the body of Christ to say, you who are feeling burdened and heavy laden, I want you to know the ways in which God is being faithful, is answering prayer in my life, even if you can't see it in yours right now.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent outworking of prayer between believers. I had several moments of deep sin struggle in my life. And the way that God worked that out in my life was that I confessed that to a brother, and we intentionally dedicated ourselves to praying, interceding on my behalf, that God would sanctify that sin out of my life. Mm-hmm. And God did it. And again, I don't want to promote something like this genie idea of God, because that isn't prayer. But what I do want to promote is that because I confessed to another person, and that led me to deeper relationship with our Heavenly Father, that led me into that delight relationship with God, God exercised his power in that relationship to free me of something that was deeply burdening.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for coming and talking to us about this topic. And we hope for those of you listening that this was challenging for you, and that you would take some of these things to heart and apply them. We'd love to put this stuff into practice right away and actually pray for all of you who are listening at home. So I'm going to start us. Sarah, maybe you could close us in a minute. But yeah, let's all corporately, even over this podcast, just pray together. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to talk about prayer. Thank you for Gary and Lily and sharing about this topic and the practicals within it. God, I pray that you would use this podcast to draw many of our students and alumni and donors and others accessing this episode to have a praying life, to set time aside intentionally to pray with you and to walk with you. God, would you stir our hearts to have the scriptures and prayer walk hand in hand? God, would they strengthen our desire to follow you more faithfully?
Lord, I just thank you so much for sending your spirit to help us in our weaknesses. That even though we don't have the right words or we say the wrong words sometimes, you know perfectly what we mean. Lord, as many begin to try a prayer practice or continue their prayer practice, would you just allow us to come simply and humbly before you with our prayer requests and with our listening ears? And just thank you so much that we don't have to have accolades. We don't have to have studied a whole book on prayer. We don't have to have taken a college course on prayer, but that we can just come before you as children in our weakness and talk with you about whatever is on our little minds. And you care and you love us.
Father, we just thank and praise you for who you are and just give you glory that you are holy. And Father, we are just so grateful that even though you are holy, you have given us a way to be in relationship with you, a way that we can communicate, we can enter into that, Father. And I pray that we wouldn't take it for granted, that we can all sit here hoping for the future, for a new earth and a new heaven and a completely restored body and a time when the days are not evil and working against us, Father. But I pray that we would start today thinking about the relationship we have with you and not put it off until it will be perfect. But God, just enter in where we are at like children. God, I just so appreciate that imagery that you put into your gospel of the children coming to Jesus and he didn't turn them away, Father. Thank you for that. And may we be like that with all of our baggage, all of our scraped knees, our runny noses, and the worst of the things that we've come through, Father. I pray that we could come in that kind of humble faith before you, just to be in a relationship with you.
Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the Chrismans, for the passion that you started in their hearts, Lord, for prayer. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work through them, through this podcast, Lord, that your word would just be powerful in our lives and in our world, and that our communities would be speaking both to you and speaking about to each other what you are doing. Lord, may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of the Disciple Makers podcast. We hope that through our conversation, you have been challenged to commit yourself to the practice of prayer and that through your diligence, you would find delight in the Lord. As always, we have resources in the show notes for further learning on this topic, so please check those out if you are interested. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on the Disciple Makers podcast.